At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition, a home game at long last. We are back in Spectrum Center, back for basketball at the Hive. Could not be happier. Hornets will host the Cleveland Cavaliers, same team that beat them just 2 days prior up in Ohio. Hornets will try and get some quick revenge now in the Queen City. We'll give you our game preview. Also, talk about one of the leading stars, maybe the biggest silver lining of them all this season for the Hornets, Brandon Miller. And recent news from the NFL, a rule change to kickoffs. What's a new rule we like to see in the NBA? We'll discuss all these topics with one of our favorites here on the HHC. He is the lead writer for Hornets.com, part of every two Sam's edition of the Hornets Hivecast. The great Sam Perley back with us once again. Sam, it is great to see you in person. It's been like a month.
I know, in studio and seeing you. And I actually said the other night after the first Cavs game, because there are no home to road back-to-backs and obviously no road games on this homestand, you might not hear from me a while on the podcast. And that was proven wrong. It's been a whole 24 hours. I thought I was going to get a nice long break, but have been called in to do the rare in-person studio appearance.
Every time you try and get away, they pull you back
exactly.
In. Here you are again. Well, let's lead things off with one of our happiest topics of the season, and that is the Hornets star rookie Brandon Miller, who, you know, I'm a big believer that the stats don't always do a player justice just on how well they're playing or how well they're performing. But when you get into historical stats, that really gives some context to how good a player has been. And I will admit, I am normally on top of a lot of these different stats because I'm just a nerd about these things. I love it. I love to look them up. I love, you know, I get curious about something, go down rabbit holes, and all of a sudden it comes into our broadcast or here into the Hornets Hivecast. But you beat me to the punch on this one. You were charting Brandon Miller's career made threes in his obviously rookie season and comparing it historically for a little over a week now. And you caught on before me. Now I'm going to steal this and look it up every single day. But where he sits in the all-time leaderboard for made threes in a rookie season. He recently made, right on the nose, his 150th. That was the other day in Cleveland, and that gives him obviously 150 career threes. He's now one of 17 players in the history of the NBA to have 150 threes in your rookie season. And so to be top 17 in even the three-point era, which goes back now almost 45 years, that is extremely impressive to me, and I think gives the context of just how good of a rookie campaign Brandon Miller has had.
Yeah, especially, and looking at this chart right now, there's a lot of different names on it. You've got at the top is Keegan Murray at 206. You've got Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Luka. You've got some guys that are kind of like strictly three-point specialists on here. Landry Shamet, you know, Trae Young kind of in his rookie year was, you know, geared more towards kind of the three-point specialty. Juan Carlos Navarro, Kerry Kittles, Kyle Kuzma, guys that maybe kind of came into the NBA and they were kind of known for their three-point shooting, playing a little bit more off-ball. And Brandon Miller, you know, it's interesting to think if he was playing maybe in that role, and not that you would necessarily want him because he is so talented and so gifted as a three-level scorer or as a future really elite three-level scorer, what he could do if you kind of just put him in the corner and you had fully, fully healthy team and all this playmaking around him and you know, passing the ball, moving the offense, what that number could be. But obviously 150 is super impressive, and to be in the top, I mean, I think if he continues to average, I think I did the math, if he keeps averaging what he's been averaging and he plays the final 12 games, he's going to finish in about the top five, maybe four. Right now, the top five is Keegan Murray, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Sadiq Bey, and Anthony Edwards. Edwards is in fifth at 171. So Miller would have to hit 22 threes over his final 12 games, which is a little less than two a game, which he's averaging, I think, 2.3. So it just speaks to, again, how a strong Brandon Miller's rookie season has been this year. He's played 64 games. He's getting better at the rim and great mid-range shooter. I mean, he's done it all this year. So it's cool to kind of chart this. I do take a little bit of pride in unearthing this before you did. And I'm kind of, if you want to kind of collectively work on this together, see who can kind of get it out first. Oh, he's got to hit five threes to get into 16th and pass Matt Maloney, former Penn Quaker and Ivy League player of the year that started in the CBA, hit 154 his rookie season, 96 with Houston. But he should be, you know, easily into the top 10 within three or four games at least.
Well, I'm all for the friendly competition. I would say that you have the advantage because I'm actively calling the game at the time that he will be making all these marks. So if I beat you to the punch, you drop the ball on some of these. So that's one. Just to piggyback on a couple of the thoughts, I think you're right to point out the difference between the specialists and the guys that are just elite players. And both are on this list. Keegan Murray falls more into the specialist category, you know, even though he is the all-time leader for made threes in a rookie season, 206, way ahead of the pack. Number two is Donovan Mitchell at 187. His points for that season was dwarfed by about 600. So Donovan Mitchell, Dame Lillard, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, Stephen Curry, who you might have thought at the time was a specialist, but no, he was already a very good all-around scorer. Kyle Kuzma, Kerry Kittles, Jalen Green, Trae Young, Allen Iverson. These are the kinds of guys that I think Brandon Miller is playing against right now in terms of the historical context, chasing them for the three-point shooting, but also the total scoring. And you got to factor in also the responsibility within the roster. For instance, Anthony Edwards played his rookie season with Carl Anthony Towns taking a lot of the attention off him. Right now, you could argue Brandon Miller is getting the majority, if not all of the defensive number one player attention on the other side in that comparison. So I think Brandon Miller, this stat really illuminates just how well he's been playing, how well he is shooting the basketball, and very much portends for great things in his future. The one number I did want to throw in there, we mentioned the all-time leader is Keegan Murray, 206. He would have to average over four made threes per game to get there. He's only making four threes in about a quarter of his game, so he would really, really have to get hot, and he'd have to play out the entire string. But wouldn't that be something if he were to chase down that record here in his remarkable rookie season?
Yeah, and also looking at this, so we just kind of narrowed it down to what is essentially the top 17 or anybody that's hit 150 in a season, and kind of looking at the percentages too, it doesn't have this list, at least the one I'm looking at, per game three-point attempts. I think Brandon's at a little over six right now, so he's probably going to, if he hits his average of three-point attempts for the rest of the season, it's going to be, I don't know, 75, 80-ish and make about 25, 30 or so. Looking at the percentage of these 17 right now, Brandon Miller is ninth out of the 17 in three-point percentage at 36.8. Steph Curry was 43.7% his rookie year, which is extraordinary. Obviously, it's still extraordinary now. Trae Young, Luka, Anthony Edwards, Donovan Mitchell, they were down 34% or lower. Once it's all kind of said and done, I'd really be interested to see where Brandon ends up within the top 10, looking at the, I guess, per game attempts. Guys are going to all play different amount of games in minutes and things like that. But the percentage, I'm sure, is going to be at least in the top half of wherever this final number ends up being. And again, looking at some of these three-point attempts, Brandon's probably on pace for about maybe 480 attempts maybe or so. He's at 408 right now, maybe 470. Donovan Mitchell, who is second on this list, took 550 attempts his rookie year. Anthony Edwards is at 520. Luka at 514. Lillard, Murray, they're all at over 500. So obviously you're going to make more if you shoot more. And Brandon's not necessarily this guy that's going to be attempting 9, 10, 11 threes a game. You know, he's going to be mixing it up, doing the mid-range, getting to the basket. So it'll be something that I might take a little bit of a deeper dive in once the season is over, see where his number's at, see how many attempts he averaged, and then percentage, and really kind of put it a little bit more into context, given in the shot volume and things like that.
One of the fun stats we'll be watching the rest of the way. We'll see if Brandon Miller can climb another rung, as Sam said. Matt Maloney next on the chart. Four made threes ahead of Brandon Miller. One ahead of him, Allen Iverson, another huge name on this list that Brandon Miller will try and chase down. All right, coming up next, there's a variety of things that are inspiration for topics here on the HHC. Some are stats, some are stories. Sometimes other sports get into the conversation. NFL recently announced some new rule changes for the upcoming NFL campaign. Give us the inspiration of asking, what should be a new rule for the NBA? We'll talk about that next with Sam Perley here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Sam Farber, Sam Perley here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets get a rematch with the Cavs tonight. We'll have our game preview coming up next segment. Right now, wanted to talk about some potential new rules. These are just things that we're completely pulling out of our own heads. These are not things that we are saying we've got any weight behind, because it's two Sams on a Hornets podcast. It's not exactly coming from the league office. But the inspiration, the NFL has made a change to its kickoff rule. No more surprise onside kicks. They've kind of adopted what was the XFL kind of version of the kickoff. It's going to put the kickoff back into the NFL game, which I think is a great thing. Also, less attention on it, but MLS is instituting some new rules. Got this from our good buddy Willie P. Will Polacek, who covers Charlotte FC. Substituted players basically now have to sprint off the field. No more standing around and taking off the armband and all the shin guards and applauding the crowd and then applauding the other side of the crowd and then doing a full 360 bow, having a dance routine in the middle of it. No, get the heck off the field and let's start things up, or else you have to play down a man for the next minute. Also, injured players who stay down on the pitch, you're getting treatment. You got to come off the pitch. You got to be treated for a while. You can't just lay there. So these are rules that I am a big fan of. I think it's great to have the kickoff back in football. I think if you're going to do an onside kick, say you're doing an onside kick, let's just do it. Much like they changed the point after touchdown rule. You can go for two. You got to say you're going for two. No fakes on those things. So I'm all for it. I think the MLS ones are fantastic. Big positive thumbs up there for me. So it gives the inspiration. What do we want for a new rule here in the NBA? Sam Perley, Giving you some time to think about this, what new rule would you institute to the National Basketball Association?
I would also just add that baseball, too, recently has instituted a number of rule changes with pitch clock and the number of times you can throw over to first. And they have a new one this year that you are not allowed to, I guess, block the base on a stolen base attempt if you're the fielder, too. So
that one's terrible. But whatever.
Yes, I've already seen a few instances of spring training. It's a throw your hands up, what are you supposed to do kind of thing. Hopefully get ironed out. But
the other ones are good for baseball, but the block, no.
The other ones were more kind of like speeding up the pace of play. This one is more of kind of a injury prevention kind of tactic. But back to basketball, I have actually a couple small ones and then one really ridiculous one that I kind of just thought up of. So for basketball, I think, and you'll love this too, because I know you're a big challenges guy, getting it right. I would like to see right now you can only challenge a foul call if a foul is called on the floor. There has to be a foul taking place, and then you can challenge it and say that wasn't a foul if you're the committing team. If there is no foul called on the floor, you cannot go and then challenge and say, hey, my guy got hit. It was a shooting foul. It has to be whistled on the floor. It would be a little bit tricky. It kind of goes back a little bit to when the NFL tried for 1 year to do the defensive pass interference a little bit. If there is no call on the field, there is nothing to review. There has to be a call on the field in order to review it. But I would like to see that one. Maybe in only like emergency situations, like game tying shots or within like the final 10 seconds or go ahead shots or something like that. It has to be a specialized situation, but I like to see them be able to say the shooter was fouled on this play, even though it wasn't called, and he deserves to be going to the line for free throws that could potentially tie the game or go ahead in the final 10 or 15 seconds.
I would be okay with that if it was in the last minute, 30 seconds, something like that, but the ball has to like immediately go out of bounds. But I'm okay with that one. I like that suggestion. You had a couple others?
That's the other tricky thing is like you have to have a stop of play in order to do it. You can't like just...
Can't go back 45 seconds ago, two possessions ago, I thought that was a foul, because now you're rewinding the clock and everything too. So it's got to be pretty quick. But some details to iron out.
About that part. Yeah.
We can't sort all everything out on an 8-minute podcast segment.
And that's why I think it has to be a dead ball situation. That's why you can only interview if there is a foul there right now. So the other one that is a little bit more normal, and I talked to you briefly before we came down, is on shot clock violations. If the team shoots the ball prior to the shot clock expiring, let's say it just hits the backboard or it's just an air ball, and the other team does not immediately have possession, but maybe they are in the process about to get it, or they're about to, you know, go get the loose ball and go in transition, keep on playing. Don't reset the, you know, clock or the possession just because the other team, again, this is a very judgment call, and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work, but right now it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the other team has to physically have possession when the shot clock goes off. And it would have been a violation, but because possession has officially flipped, they're not going to call it. If the clock goes off and the shot is up and it doesn't hit the rim and nobody has possession, but say the defending team is about to go get it, or there's three or four guys around there, the refs should have the, you know, authority to just be like, just keep on playing, because you've got a live ball rebound transition opportunity. The other team should not be rewarded for having a shot clock violation. Now we're going to have a stoppage of play and inbounds, and then you get to reset your defense.
My understanding is they kind of already do have that. If it's really imminent possession, they let it go. But if there's any kind of contest for the rebound, or they might fumble it out of bounds, you kind of have to stop it, because the team played good defense. They deserve the ball, and getting the ball is more important than getting to start a run out right then and there. So I think that one I don't like as much, just because I think you're looking for a problem where there isn't one right now.
Yep.
Here's my two. We'll let you get your judgment on these. One I'm not as passionate about, but this is more an after the game thing. Let's have some fines for guys who just whip their head back all the time and are trying to get these fouls. I like the flopping thing that's been put in play. I think that's a positive thing. That's more of a defensive thing. Somewhat been called on some offensive players too, but I wouldn't mind seeing some kind of post-game penalty for players who do these head whip faking contact, trying to draw fouls. You know, just give a fine and publicize a little bit of shaming. Try and get some of that out of the game. So that's number one. Your thoughts?
I would agree with that one, and especially if it's a guy that is, you know, maybe hit down in the, you know, leg or something. Why is your head flying backwards? Like, if the contact was made down by your ankle or something like that.
It's an unnatural movement.
So you want to not only call it in the moment, maybe give it a flagrant or a technical, but then, you know, maybe post it on the NBA's account the next morning and say, look, such and such player, his head's coming back a little bit. You know, just to let everyone know he wasn't hitting the head. He was hitting the leg on this foul. You want to kind of take it another two or three steps.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think some of this stuff, they're trying to bait for fouls and they're allowed to. I'm saying don't allow to. It's kind of like the soccer thing. You know, they're allowed to stand and take a full bow and round of applause to the stadium. And so it eats up 4 minutes of game time. The MLS is saying, no, get the heck off the field. You've been subbed out. Let's get moving here. I'm saying the same thing here. You know, you're trying to bait a call where there really shouldn't be one. We don't need to stop the game. We don't need to do a flopping technical every time. But hey, you clearly weren't hit in the face and you're trying to bait this call. We're not going to do that anymore. So that's one. My bigger one, though, this is really a pet peeve for me. Every time there's a jump ball to start a game, everyone's on their own half of the court, much like an NHL face-off, a hockey face. So if you get behind your guy who's in the middle, they're supposed to tip it back to you. Or if they're tipping it forward, it's some kind of play put in place, but you don't have a guy already over there. But once we get past the jump ball at center court, everyone has to start jockeying for a position, and we got to take 45 seconds to figure out, well, he was here first, now I want to stand here, and I'm going to put two players next to you, so now I want to move somewhere else. And it takes all this time for a play that really, it should be just about getting possession. And so just line up behind your guy. Make that the rule. You line up behind, your person tipping off has to try and tip it backwards, or if they're tipping it forwards, you know you have to run into enemy territory, you know, like capture the flag style to try and get it. But we're not going to have a minute and a half of lining up and saying, I was standing here, and creating reasons for guys to try and have pushing, shoving matches. Let's get that out of the game and get things moving again.
How about everybody, all 10 players, do the tip off at once? And if the shortest player on the court gets the ball, his team not only gets possession, but free throws for winning it. Is that getting too ridiculous?
That's way too ridiculous. Are you saying should do like a rugby scrum where you put every, like, yeah?
Well, you were talking about like capturing the flag and all this.
I'm saying like you put everyone behind your guy and then just tip it backwards. Tip it for the possession. Not, I wanted to stand here so I could steal the tip. If you're going to steal the tip, run over to the other side and try and steal it.
The thought process is if you tip it up, if my back is facing the goal I'm trying to defend and I want to put somebody up on the side, it's like if I can tip it forward, then maybe we can have a quick transition opportunity. I think that's the thought process. But I also agree that maybe just having five guys behind you is...
I think
probably
it's a bad
simpler
thought. I think if you're tipping it off, you tip it back, you win it, just shoot the three. Just shoot it. You don't have to put it near the basket. It drives me nuts when we have to jockey for position for a minute and a half. And then in the end, it ends up being a shot clock violation or something silly anyways.
I had no idea that was such a sticking point for you. Now I'm going to look up during the tip off, during the games, and
see this look
of angst on your faces, you know, just kind of getting mad. I had one more kind of ridiculous one, but I want to say one more quick thing about the one you just had. Maybe put the head going backward motion. Just put that part of the flopping. Just make that is considered now a flop. It's no different than if you got hit and you're waving your arms in the air and you fall down. If you see your head kind of jerk back violently when there has been zero contact in that area specifically, that's now a flop. And it's an easy one to see because, you know, it's right there. It's point blank.
Fine by me as well.
Okay. My last change, and this is definitely one that will never happen, but I think it would be fun to see, is instituting substitutions on the fly, kind of like hockey does. So, you know, hockey guy goes to his bench and then the next guy comes out. Let's do that in the NBA. Maybe just try it out in preseason, just see, but you can have like the only requirement is you can't have any guys that are cherry picking or anything. It has to be, the ball has to be on your side of the court, of the bench, or like your guy cannot come in. I'm trying to think how the best way to do this. I haven't really thought it out.
It's a terrible idea.
It would be fun to watch, though.
It's awful.
Yes. But your guy has to go to the bench first, and then the other guy can come out, but he can't go to the other side. Or maybe he can cherry pick. Let's make that kind of fun. You're down to four defenders on one side. We're going to substitute, take our guy out. He goes down to the other end. Maybe we get a stop. We can loft it down the other way of the court. It's supposed to be fun and ridiculous. I said that coming into it. But think of all the action. Guys going in and out, in and out, in and out. Three-point shooter comes in, defensive guy. They just kind of go back and forth the whole game.
I hate this about as much as Rob Longo is hating editing this right now because we've gone over. But that's a solid no from me on that one. But overall, if we have some nice suggestions, we'll call up the NBA front office, see if we can get some of these instituted, except for the last one. All right, we got a game to play tonight. Hornets taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. A rematch. Our game preview is next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Sam Farber, Sam Perley here with you on the HHC. Hornets taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. A rematch. Hornets fell to Cleveland the other day in the land. Final score, 115-92. Charlotte will try and get some quick revenge here tonight. Hornets enter the game 17-54 overall on the season. Cavs are now 44-28. Cleveland able to snap a somewhat sizable losing streak with that one. Charlotte still unfortunately riding theirs, now having dropped five in a row. Sam Perley, where would you like to begin for our game preview? You want a Hornet to watch, a Cav to watch, or a Stat to watch?
I will go Hornet to watch, and thank you for mentioning that we went so over on the ridiculous rules. I don't want to make the job any harder for Rob, so I'll move quickly through these, but he has to keep in my idea of the flying substitutions. Hornet to watch, Alexei Pokuševski, season high 11 points on Monday night in Cleveland. Thought he's had some really productive minutes lately. He's kind of playing his role really well. I think Steve Clifford said he liked what he saw from him after the game. He's had at least five rebounds and or multiple assists in five of his past six appearances. So doing a little bit of everything. I like the way he's able to kind of push the tempo a little bit with his rebounding and can bring it up court with his ball handling. He's settled in nicely for a role that maybe, I guess initially when he joined the team, the Hornets weren't exactly expecting, but because of the injuries, they've had to rely on him more. And I think he's done a really good job. So Alexei Pokuševski is my player to watch for tonight.
I'm going to go with Brandon Miller for this one. He's, for all the reasons we talked about earlier, he's chasing a three-point mark, trying to push the mark for the Hornets franchise as far out into the distance as he can and chase down as many big names as possible. If we're talking about career high made three type of efforts for Brandon, which is only six, and the reason I say only is because we know how good of a shooter he is. He's certainly capable of knocking down more than that, but if he were to match his career high tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers, we're talking about him passing Allen Iverson, tying Trae Young. That'd be pretty impressive stuff. So I'm rooting for Brandon Miller, looking for him to have a big night. Obviously, if the Hornets are going to beat the Cavs, he has to have another one, and Miles Bridges has to bounce back from his standard, somewhat subpar shooting effort. Next up, do you want a Cav to watch or a Stat to watch?
I'll go Cav to watch, and his name kind of tricky with the extra S at the end of George. George Niang, 13.7 points over his last 11 games, nine of those being starts. He's come off the bench the last two, including Monday night when he had 17 points, which is his second most as a reserve. reserve this year, and he tied a season high with 5 3-pointers. I want to say he was 3 of 3 in the second quarter with most of them. He was a big part of that, 24-10 run maybe at the end of the second quarter for Cleveland. Really good bench shooter. He's fit in really, really nice there. He has dropped off a little bit with the 3-point shooting this year, but he's a guy that's certainly capable of having these 4, 5, 6, you know, 3-pointer nights on any given basis. So especially with where the Hornets' depth is right now, he's a guy that they really got to be mindful of coming off the bench on the other side.
We are really kind of on the same page because he was number one on my leaderboard, so I got to pivot, go to someone else. I'm going to look specifically at wins and losses, what will best help the Hornets have a chance to win, and that is controlling Darius Garland. I personally thought for long stretches of the game the other day in Cleveland, Brandon Miller was the best player on the floor. The only player who really pushed him and probably exceeded him for the overall title of best player on the floor for the game was Darius Garland. He looked like pretty close to the all-star version of himself, double-double with points and assists. The thing about Garland is when he plays well, when they win his minutes, Cleveland's almost unbeatable. When he is a +4 or better, which has happened 23 times this season for the Cleveland Cavaliers, their record is 21-2. 21-2 when he's a +4 or better in the +/-. What if he's not +4 or better? He's +3 or worse. They've had that happen 25 times. Their record is 6-19. So if you control Darius Garland's minutes, you control the Cavs. Hornets need to win the Garland minutes, which is going to be the majority of them if they're going to want to have a chance to win this game. Last but not least, a stat to watch.
My stat to watch is going to revolve around Cleveland's cutting, which was a big thing. I think that hurt Charlotte's defense against the Cavaliers on Monday. Wasn't able to find the exact amount of baskets Cleveland scored via cuts in that game. I don't think the NBA, you know, filters can necessarily do that, but you can look at the full season. So I went back and looked at it to see if this was kind of an anomaly, and it wasn't. Cleveland right now is second in the NBA in cutting possessions at 10.3, points scored off cuts at 13.8, and frequency of possessions that have feature a cut of some kind at 9.5%. So it's obviously a big part of their offense. They were 18 of 23 at the rim the other night, which is about 78%. League average is 66.4. So they did a really good job of getting in the paint, not only from kind of straight ahead, but also with the backdoor stuff. It's something the Hornets have to be really, really mindful of defensively. I think that's where a lot of their breakdowns came, starting in midway through that second quarter and on Monday night. So the cutting on the defensive end has to be, you know, it's certainly a point of emphasis.
I like it. I'm going to look kind of in the exact opposite direction. You're looking at interior defense, essentially, for the Hornets. I'm going to look at exterior offense. I thought Charlotte had a good, not great, because he's a great shooter, but by his standards, a good three-point shooting night for Brandon Miller. Subpar, really, for almost everyone else. Trey Mann was good, 2 for 3, but no one else really shot it well from distance. Hornets need to shoot the ball better from three. They got decent looks, but 32%, only 9 total made threes, especially when you look compared to Cleveland, 41%, 17 made threes. That was a huge edge. Now, Cleveland does have more healthy players and healthy shooters specifically to turn to. Brandon Miller, the best shooter on the team for the Hornets, is really kind of carrying the scoring load alongside Miles Bridges. But for the Hornets to have a chance, that gap's got to be closer. You can't have -8 in terms of total made threes and be 10 percentage points. Cleveland 41%, Charlotte 32%, and expect to win the game if those are the percentages from three. So I'm looking at three-point shooting for the Charlotte Hornets as my stat here to watch. I think we might have redeemed ourselves for Rob Longo as we race through our game preview segment. We'll have, of course, a game recap for you tomorrow on the HHC, giving you a breakdown of tonight's rematch against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sam Perley, I don't know if we can sign you up for 3 days in a row, but we always appreciate having you join us here on the HHC.
Whatever you need, I'm always happy to help. Thank you for having me.
Thanks as well to Rob Longo for putting this podcast together. Most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Look forward to getting your suggestions on new rule changes and how ridiculous you think Sam Perley's idea is of the on-the-fly substitution. Or maybe you like it. Let us know. In any case, for Sam Perley, I'm Sam Farber saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along. We will talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.